Welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. The theme of today's episode is cryptids, which I think might need a little bit of explanation. And luckily, we have a cryptids expert with us. So Sarah, can you explain to me what is a cryptid and why is it worth us taking notice of them?
Cryptids are any animal that people think might exist but hasn't been proven by science. And that kind of ranges a gamut from things that are sort of very mythical, like mermaids or unicorns, through to things like yetis or bigfoots, and all the way out to sort of things that are thought to be extinct but might not be, like the ivory-billed woodpecker, megalodon the shark, or even some people think dinosaurs might be cryptids.
Cool. All right, let's introduce our guests. This week we have small and biologically interesting Emma Parkin. Emma, which cryptid are you championing today?
Hi, Catherine. I love your introductions for me, by the way. The cryptid that I am championing today is the black shuck, which has been terrorising the residents of East Anglia since the 16th century.
The black shuck?
Yes. Would you like me to explain a bit about what it is?
Or just tell me in one sentence, what is a shuck?
The black shuck is supposedly a massive hellhound dog that attacks people, a lot of the time sinners.
Awesome. I would have guessed it was a shellfish, so I'm glad you clarified.
Isn't it like one of the graveyard black dogs?
Well, yes, it is. There's a surprising amount of British Isle like legends and myths about spectral black dogs, but the black shuck loves to hang out in graveyards, crossroads, side roads, bodies of water, and just following people around forests. So
cool.
You know, a lot of habitats in East Anglia for it to choose from.
Okay, our next guest is a science show-off and cryptid expert, Sarah Leach. Sarah, which creature will you be championing today?
I am representing Mothman.
Mothman.
Yes.
And is he a man that's a bit like a moth?
A moth that's a bit like a man?
Definitely more man who's a bit like a moth, but actually it's a really bad name for him. All the people who actually saw Mothman have said he doesn't look very much like a moth. He is a large sort of humanoid creature, about 7 feet high, with huge wings. He's supposed to have about a 10 to 15 foot wingspan. Generally speaking, sort of dark colored and has sort of shining or glowing red eyes.
Wow. And guest number three is the lovely Joy Aston. Joy, which animal are you championing today?
Today, my animal, cryptid, is the boggart, which is, boggarts are known in Harry Potter, but when I grew up, I was always told about, in Wales, where some of my family live, about the boggart, which is a kind of a half pig, half dog creature, spirit, that lives in the bogs, lives in the marshes, and kidnaps children.
Is this a cryptid your family's made up, or one that exists in
Wales? Boggart is like household spirit, like malevolent spirits, and they do live in the marshes and kidnap children. So it's clearly a local variant on that.
So. Okay, so you're all kind of quite evil cryptids. No unicorns.
Nah. We didn't think they'd win, Catherine.
Yeah, I know. Sure, it's called Creature Wars.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm Catherine Webb. All right, let's have a run through of the rules. There are three rounds. In each round, the creatures have to face a scenario and try to survive it. Contestants, if you feel your creature's not up to the task, you can turn over your wild card. Now, I wrote these on the tube on the way here. I don't know a lot about cryptids, so they're interesting. I might have made them up. You can only turn over your wild card once in the competition. At the end of each round, your creature will be judged. The judge's rule is final, so no arguing. On with the first scenario. Scientists have found your cryptid. What are they going to do now, and how will you respond?
Do I have to survive, or do I just have to tell you what they'll do next? Because they're probably going to kill it. Or try.
I'm looking for a realistic scenario. I'm looking to be amused.
Okay.
I don't really care what the outcome is. I'm just going to choose somebody who makes me laugh.
Because we have to entertain you. Okay, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Why do you think I run this podcast? I just basically want zoologists to come and entertain me.
Okay, so, well, if I'm permitted to go first, I'll be boisterous and go first. So the black shuck, as I mentioned, is supposed to be, in the folklore of the British Isles, a large black dog-like creature, which is supposed to be interlinked with the devil. Sightings of spectre-like dogs have been going back in British history since about the 1100s. But since the 16th century, there's been the rumour in East Anglia of this black shuck dog. It first appeared apparently in a thunderstorm in 1577 in two small villages of Blydeburg and Bungay, which are both in Suffolk, at churches. It targeted churches. So
the Hounds of Hell, isn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, pretty much. They, I think it's used been used to inspire the Hound of the Baskervilles, the Grimm in Harry Potter, a whole load of things. Even inspired a song by the Darkness called The Black Shuck, which in fact tells this story. So you can go and listen to that rock band's song. Anyway, they're all praying in the church in Blydeburg. There was a thunderclap and a flash of lightning, and the hound barges in through the doors, rushes past the congregation. It's over 7 feet tall, and it kills a man and a boy, and that causes the steeple to collapse, and then it runs back out of the door again, leaving fiery scratch marks, which are still on the north-facing door of this church, if you go and look, in Blydeburg. And at a similar time, on the 4th of August, on the same day, just 12 miles down the road, another sighting occurred in the town of Bungay, which now uses it as his mascot, where the same hound reportedly charged in and killed two worshippers by mauling them and slitting their throats and then running away. So this is a very big black dog, which apparently ranges in size from the size of a dog to the size of a horse, and either has large saucer dinner plate fiery eyes or one eye, like a cyclops. There's been a lot of variation. Anyway, it basically follows you around if you've done something wrong and tries to kill you. So I think if scientists found this cryptid, they'd probably be pretty terrified because... Or in fact, actually, they did potentially find the cryptid because there was an excavation in Leiston Abbey of the ruins of the abbey, and they found a massive dog skeleton, which was about 7 feet tall and could have been 200 pounds, but might have also been the abbot's pet Newfoundland, so they're not quite sure, but a lot of people were like, it's definitely the Black Shuck. Anyway,
so what did they do with the skeleton?
They just left it. Like, there was a ruins anyway, so they carbon dated it because they were like, if it's about the right age, it might have been the Black Shuck. But carbon dating, as we know, is only slightly so precise, and apparently it's between 1600 and the 1900s, so who knows. But there's still been modern day reports of the Black Shuck. There was a midwife on a bicycle who was apparently chased by this dog, who was so swift and fast that she couldn't outcycle it and then vanished into thin air.
Are you going to respond to scientists trying to kill you?
It has very sharp fangs and bloodthirsty eyes, and the devil is clearly on its side. So I think we're just going to either kill the scientists or maybe try and... Yeah, no, we're just going to murder them.
Okay, fair.
You know, if we kill people who are church-going good Christians, then surely scientists are really going down.
Maybe you should recruit them. Recruit some evil scientists to be on your side, like cybernetically enhance your fiery eyes.
Ooh, I like this idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we'd either kill them or form an alliance, so.
Cool. All right, Sarah, what are you going to do? Scientists have found you.
So I think that there is a great making of a fantastic partnership here. Yeah. So Mothman is a really interesting cryptid because it has a very interesting combination of sort of very supernatural aspects and very naturalistic aspects. In fact, one of the key people who is doing research right now on Mothman and thinks that he's appearing in the city of Chicago, like right now, that there's a, they're called flaps where these things appear going on. He says about Mothman that he thinks they're a flesh and blood being that isn't of this world.
So an alien.
I mean, maybe. That is one of the theories. Yeah. And the amazing thing about Mothman is that apparently he appears before disasters occur. And there is...
Did he appear before Trump was elected?
No.
Okay, well,
but
missed the trick there.
But he did appear before Chernobyl, so that's a thing. He was first sighted in America, in an area of West Virginia, coming up before a giant bridge collapse that actually killed almost 50 people. And he has appeared many times around the world for other bridge collapses, outbreaks of swine flu, like I said, the Chernobyl meltdown. There's some images that people say are photographs of him flying around New York City before 9/11. And there are big debates over whether he is causing these things or trying to warn people about them.
I was about to say, what is his intent? Is he a good guy or a bad guy in this situation?
We don't know, but I figure if the scientists have caught him, then there is room either way for a partnership. This can be sort of a buddy duo comedy where the scientists and Mothman can work together to go and predict disasters that are going to happen and prevent them.
Did he get caught with a beer and a big net?
Not yet.
In the scenario, how would he get caught?
He appears flying around a lot, so I think that a net might be a good choice.
But he's a man.
So man probably isn't quite accurate. He seems to have a humanoid body, but very few people seem to have perceived him as being truly human. That's why part of this sort of alien theory, he actually, if you look at images of him, he looks like a black angel with red eyes a lot. So like I said, excellent makings of like a buddy TV show. I'm seeing something episodic happening over and over, preventing disasters all over the world with a sort of straight, logical scientist and a pseudo-supernatural alien premonition having Mothman.
Is he single?
That sounds awesome.
Is he single?
Joy, contain yourself.
You know, I don't think that's been in the mythology so far, which probably means yes, right?
So the boggart, the half pig, half dog, little sneaky creature that lives in the bogs. My thinking is, you know, Britain doesn't have many wild spaces left, and our like wetlands are some of our like last ones. So theoretically, this cute little boggart, people love pigs, people love dogs.
I thought he stole children. How is he cute?
Right, he clearly steals children for a reason. His habitat is at risk. So really, you know, we don't have many like wild.
So it's
children
revenge.
Coming in. Well,
it's probably just a cold.
Lack of food. Like, they're not, the ecosystems aren't functioning as well as they should do in the UK. You know, we don't have many left. So really, like, the discovery of this quite large animal that's so far, you know, managed to escape our gaze in this, like, very, you know, not, we haven't got as much wild space as we should have. Maybe it can be used as a flagship species for our, like, wetlands. And that'd be kind of cute. People be like, oh, they love micro pigs. Maybe, you know, just fluff up part of him. He'll look cute. And then, yeah, be great.
So, do you think realistically that's what scientists would want to do with you? They'd use their conservationist powers on you rather than...
What else are they going to do?
Yeah.
It's a cute pig dog.
It's a cute pig dog lives that in steals the bog. Children. That's yeah. really trying to keep our population down
yeah,
for our own good.
Yeah, we've got too many people.
Have you written a limerick about this animal?
No, have you like written a limerick about your
no,
dog?
No, you just said something rhymed. You like, it's a cute pig dog that lives in a bog, and that sounds like a sort of a limerick to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
So, you're going to kill a scientist, Emma. There's going to be a collaboration that basically sounds like it's already a Netflix series with Sarah's Mothman. And you're going to be like a conservation totemic animal.
We're going to save the wetlands.
I think I've been watching a lot of Netflix recently.
Yeah.
And I think Sarah's Mothman, it could save humanity if it has premonitions.
Or it could destroy humanity.
I mean, that could be the twist at the end of a season, right?
Season one.
That's been building up destruction of humanity and all these little rescues. It's made for, like, Netflix, right?
I think,
please
yeah,
go and pitch that right now. Oh, wow.
That's made for season four. When,
oh, that's true. When it's
when
boring.
Out of ideas.
When you need, like, a time jump or something happening, that'll do it. Yeah, Netflix, if you're listening, I'm up for writing it.
Okay, so Sarah wins.
Yay! Woo!
All right, on to the next scenario. Okay, here we go. You are deeply jealous of the Loch Ness Monster. How can you up your profile so that you have just as many merchandising opportunities as she does? And who wants to go first on that?
I'll use my wild card.
All right,
can I have a second to just look at it? Right, okay. My wild card, the Grand High Lizard, a cold-blooded humanoid, something...
Xenofauna,
which controls the minds of the world's elite, lives in a shopping mall in Earth's molten core. So I am...
So I did say earlier I might have made some of these up myself.
I like that one.
Possible cryptid.
You know, yeah. I control the minds of the world's elite. So what better way to, like, you know, get a book deal or, you know... Get a clothing line. Could have my own line of sweets. Loch Ness Monster ain't got shit on me.
The world's your oyster, really, yeah. with that cryptid, isn't it? Like, if you control the world's
Trump
elite.
Would name drop me as Grand High Lizard.
Boom. Yeah. Joy out.
What do I need?
Cool. That one's hard to argue with. You don't really need to expand on it, do you? All right. Sarah?
So I think that Mothman is just meant to be a fluffy toy. So a lot of the illustrations of Mothman, some of which are based upon real observations from real people who have seen Mothman.
Real in inverted commas.
Real observations.
I did not have any inverted commas. I don't know where these are coming from over there.
Yeah, you guys added those in.
Yeah. In the edit, sorry.
There is a danger when you're not the editor that such things will happen. But I think it would actually be a great, soft, fluffy toy. Some of the illustrations have Mothman having sort of feathers. And I think, like, a feathery, cuddly toy with big wings that can wrap around you. I'm motioning, like, being hugged by Mothman's wings. And because his eyes sort of shine or light up, I'm actually picturing this as one of these, you know, the cuddly bedroom toys that light, exactly, the like, pillow buddies?
Yeah.
He has light-up eyes. Maybe they'll, like, project the night sky onto your ceiling, and so Mothman can be there, too.
Maybe he could project natural disasters onto your ceiling as you snuggle in and go to sleep.
Even Mothman knows better than to do that to small children that need something light to keep them up at night. Like, Mothman is not an idiot.
We assume.
I mean, he's been flying around the planet for decades warning people about natural and not so natural disasters coming.
Or causing them.
Well, I mean, if he's going to be a cuddly toy, obviously he's not causing them. In this version, Mothman is definitely a good guy trying to save humanity. And I think if you're going to have anybody watching over you at night, what about this good guy that's going around trying to save humanity with light up eyes to help you if you're afraid of the dark and cuddly, feathery, soft wings to hold you and keep you safe?
Is he single, though?
Like I said, I'm pretty sure he is.
He's a portent of doom, so he could be like your next Tinder match, couldn't he?
I was about to say, can you imagine what Mothman's Tinder profile would be like? Something along the lines of, love moths, love birds.
Would it just be
fly
like,
around the world, show up mysteriously, I'm a mystery man, I can take you on adventures, I may or may not be causing all the world's problems.
First pick is like, you know, netball match, second pick Chernobyl, third pick like a bridge falling down. I'm sold.
And just a selfie with him in every single one at the front.
Does he have like little bird hands at the end, or does he have just wings? Like, so are they like bats, or are they like...
They're not very bat-like, they're very sort of bird or kind of owl-like or angel-like.
So he doesn't have any fingers.
I mean,
that's a problem for Joy.
Oh my god!
How long is his tongue, Sarah? He is a moth. Don't they have super long tongues? Like they've evolved them.
Well, like I said, the moth man is a bit like, but I mean,
like a party popper or whatever they are. There's ones you blow into and they go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they could definitely, and moths have lots of different, like, sizes and shapes of tongues, so whatever you want, Mothman's tongue could be.
So sexual prowess and a cuddly toy.
Yeah, he could be a vibrator.
The Mothman vibrator.
Mothman is gonna come and, like, kill me in my sleep tonight, guys.
Or more.
All of London is going to be destroyed tomorrow, and this recording is going to survive, and everyone will know it's my fault.
Hello. So, were we saying we're trying to get as much publicity as Nessie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Black Shook, actually in East Anglia, is as famous as Nessie already is. He is, in fact, the mascot and on the coat of arms for the Bungay town that I mentioned, where he was one of the places he was first sighted. There's a whole load of souvenirs and merchandise about the Black Shook in Bungay. And in addition to that, if that is not enough, I'm just going to say puppies. He may be like a hellhound, but I'm sure hellhounds have to grow up somehow. And so I imagine there will probably be, you know, Black Shook puppies that could be equally adorable and yet fierce. And I think that's a perfect combination for attracting publicity. If not, we'll just go murder another load of people in another church, because I think that's also a good way to get media's attention. I mean, in fact, the Daily Mail have reported on him more than once. So I could go and attack a Daily Mail reporter, and that would also make the news.
That is a literal dog rights reporter story.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're all good. So we're already on the coat of arms for Bungay, puppies arriving in thunderstorms and mist and being super cool, and then killing Daily Mail reporters and people in churches. And I think we'll be very well known in outside of the East Anglia region.
Yeah, I think what you're telling me there is you've already tried to gain publicity and you haven't broken out of East Anglia.
If we also think about the fact that the Grimm was inspired by the Black Shook, the Grimm in the third book of Harry Potter, then actually we already have a heck of a lot of publicity through the Harry Potter series.
But Nessie is internationally famous.
We're on our way.
Oh, we're on our way. I'm not saying that we can't be. We can spread Black Shook puppies all over the planet. That's not an issue. I'm sure the devil's got our back. So, you know.
I feel like if you don't break through after you are a major plot point in Harry Potter, you're probably never going to make it.
We're just pretty secretive about our lives, guys. You know, we like the East Anglia region for all the habitats I've mentioned. And we're a cryptid. We don't like to be found. So, you know, I think we're not actually that. We're not the Kardashians. We don't love the publicity, but we'll do it for Catherine.
I think the mind-controlling elite lizard is going to win that one. Just
hit me up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get on the wrong side of the Grand High Lizard. As much as the dating opportunities of Mothman are intriguing. Okay, and on to the next scenario. Some crackpot is looking for you. Always an occupational hazard if you're cryptid. But as should be abundantly clear, you do not want to be found. How will you put this anoraki scientist weirdo off your scent, or alternatively, and I think Emma might have this covered, how will you kill them and dispose of the body? Because you don't want a trail of bodies leading to you, do you?
I don't know why anybody would go looking for the Black Shook, because it is an omen of death, which means if you see it, either you or a close person will die. That is the point. So why would you go looking for something that will inevitably lead you to be killed?
No, why do people try and like climb mountains that are like inevitably going to kill them?
Well, no, because it's inevitable, because one of the real purposes of the Black Shook is basically to kill people. So if it's an issue, they'll just look at me, I'll kill them, we'll be all good. I can use that if you want me to, though.
But then what about the body? Interesting.
Yeah, what about the body? Would you?
I'll just eat it.
Ooh.
I'm a hellhound. Yeah. Might have razor sharp teeth and fiery eyes. I'm sure my digestion can handle the situation.
What happens when you poop out the remains?
Well, hopefully I'll have broken down the bones quite enough.
Yeah, but there's DNA in there.
Well, I mean, again, if the police come looking for me, if Sherlock Holmes come looking for me, I think he's probably the only one that might be able to get around me, but I think everybody else I will just kill.
What about the army?
The army?
Yeah.
The devil's dog versus the army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where that's been done. It's like when the Iron Giant came alive and the army were like, oh, but it'd be a big dog.
Are you talking about Ted Hughes, the Iron Man?
No, the Iron Giant.
The movie.
It's a film.
Catherine, you need to watch that with your kids.
Oh, it makes you cry. I've had a popular culture bypass.
But if we're not okay with the justification of I will just murder you, I'm happy to use my wild card.
You could try your wild card.
Well, what have you given me? It might be worse. Well, it's the last scenario, so I'll try it. Oh my goodness, this is a very long wild card.
I have to explain them because I've made them up.
So we've gone from, bear this in mind, the hellhound, the fiery beast of the devil, to the hamster of eternal doom. It lives in laundry baskets. It poops on clothes. It eats socks and smothers small children while they sleep. How big is the hamster of eternal doom, Catherine? Is this a big hamster, like a horse-sized hamster? Or is it a little Chinese dwarf-sized hamster?
It's small enough to be in your laundry basket.
How big is the laundry basket? What was the question? How am I going to deal with people looking for me? Yeah. I'll just hide in the wall? If it's really, really small, I'm just going to hide.
Hide in their dirty pants.
Or I will threaten to smother their children in their sleep. And therefore they will leave me alone. So murder again is the answer that I'm going for, Catherine. Mic drop.
Okay. I'm not sure which one of those I'll take for the final one. All right, Mothman.
So Mothman actually already has this figured out. One of the many things that comes after you see Mothman is often that the Men in Black appear. And so...
Wait, hang on, which Men in Black?
The Men in Black.
Will Smith.
Well, I don't know if it's Will Smith specifically.
It's Will Smith the Mothman!
Oh my gosh.
I don't know about that, but the One World Government, or whatever it is that sends out the Men in Black to everybody who sees aliens, mm-hmm. also sends them out after you see Mothman, which is one of the reasons that some people think that Mothman is an alien. And these Men in Black, I don't know if you've read the about them. There are many internet websites that will tell you all about them. They come and they destroy your life slowly. They appear, they harass you, they are creepy, they tell you to keep your mouth shut, and if you don't keep your mouth shut, stuff happens. And let me tell you, given that these are keeping Mothman, who is appearing all over the place all the time, portending disasters, quiet, and also the aliens, the reptilians that Joy talked about earlier, like, they're in charge of keeping all of this quiet. So I think they've got keeping Mothman quiet under control, or we'd know about him.
Cool, so you've got your henchmen, they're going to come destroy the respectability of anybody who sees you.
And if somehow they didn't show up, you know, I'm pretty sure he could probably, like, pick you up and fly you into the sky and then drop you in the middle of the ocean, and that would probably take care of it too. but that seems to not be the solution in reality that generally comes from these incidents.
I love your sticking to the reality line. Okay, Joy.
So I've been having some thoughts about the Boggart, because obviously it seems like it's quite a family-specific cryptid to my family. So I reckon maybe if someone went looking for the Boggart, they wouldn't find it because it was something invented by my dad to stop me dicking around in the bogs so much when I was a kid and to stop me literally dying in a bog. Because I have fallen in bogs twice in the last 2 years.
In the last 2 years?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 23, but I'll be 24 next month. But they were like life, like the two times in the last 2 years I've been genuinely scared for my life. So maybe this was like, maybe I've got like a genetic predisposition to like falling in bogs. And it was my family's like attempt to stop me from doing that. And now I've been released from the fear of the Boggart. Maybe that's why I've been falling in so many bogs recently.
So
maybe.
What your solution is to just admit that it doesn't exist and therefore they can't find it?
I think they can go looking as much as they want, but I don't think they can find it.
Do you think they'll just drown in a bog while they're
Yeah,
looking?
I think they'll drown because it's quite dangerous to go wandering through a bog, as I have learned.
Okay. I'm not convinced by that answer.
Neither am I.
I think that Mothman has got to win that one. Because,
to be honest, yeah,
Mothman's got the men in black on his side.
You're not in a very murderous mood today, are you? You often are.
I do sometimes want to kill everyone. You're wrong stage of my cycle.
Oh, dear, sorry. Try again next week.
If I could, like,
give it another 2 weeks, I'll be feeling quite murderous again.
Yeah. If I could give a quick thank you. I am obsessed with cryptids, and one of the biggest places that I've learned about them is the Monster Talk podcast. So if anybody out there really enjoyed this episode and would like maybe a more scientific take on cryptids and monsters, I strongly recommend this podcast and all its archives, in which you could, amongst other things, find out the best real explanation of what Mothman is.
Cool. That sounds wicked. What's, say it again?
Monster Talk.
Monster Talk.
It's with Blake Smith and Karen Selznow.
Sounds awesome. All right. And that's the end. And Mothman is the winner.
Woo!
Yay! Woo!
What was everybody's wild card?
Oh, yeah, we've got one more wild card.
Do you want to hear my wild card?
Yeah, let's hear Sarah's wild card.
Given that I didn't need it because Mothman is the best. It is the giant toad-faced bat thing. It lives in a cave in rural Thailand, terrorizes locals by flying up to them and licking their faces. Which could have been
terrifying.
Another great toy for Joy.
Yeah, is he single?
All right, should we say bye?
Bye.